Happy 4th of July, everyone. Here on the Council of Trent podcast, we normally talk apologetics and theology, but it is our nation's birthday. And we celebrate our birthday of America, America style, by blowing stuff up and eating a bunch of food, grilling, eating meat like a man, you know, letting the kids run around, the sprinklers are set off, inviting people over for big 4th of July barbecues. And so today, what I wanted to talk about, I wanted to just rank the foods you would have at a 4th of July party. So I just wanted to rank those, and I'm going to put them out there for you today. If you disagree with my rankings, don't make a federal case out of it. I did this recently. I did it for Thanksgiving. I ranked the Thanksgiving foods. I think I had somebody leave a negative review on iTunes, or they left a review somewhere saying they hated the podcast because of how I ranked Thanksgiving food. If you don't like it, that's fine. That's fine. But it's fun. Don't get that. Don't let me ruin your day because you disagree with me about which 4th of July dishes are good and which aren't. So quick episode today. I had this on my mind. I had to share it with you. I want to see if you agree. Okay, so 4th of July is an interesting holiday, by the way. If you think about all the holidays that break up our year, you know, we got Memorial Day to kick off the summer, and we got Labor Day to be like, oh, so we've got one last bit of summer left, except really you don't, because school's already back in session for a lot of people. So it's like, yeah, summer's kind of one and done there. To have that real big summer party, that's 4th of July. That's 4th of July's purpose. It's similar, like I said, about Thanksgiving. Like, Thanksgiving would not be a big deal if it weren't for the fact it's a month before Christmas, that Thanksgiving is basically our pregame for Christmas. That's why it's a big deal. 4th of July is the tentpole summer activity. It's for we're officially out of school now, except you have to do summer school. And we want to get out there. We want to just have fun, stay up late. Even when we're up late, the sun is still shining. That's 4th of July. And the food is really interesting because I think for a lot of, well, it's interesting, for a lot of the holidays, Thanksgiving, there's like specific meals you have to have, even if normally for like, if you were going to say, hey, we're having a bunch of family over for dinner, right? You're just like, hey, a bunch of families in town, we're going to have dinner. There's all different kinds of foods you could have. For Thanksgiving, there's like this cultural pressure. You've got to eat turkey and stuffing and all this other kind of stuff, right? If you had a bunch of people over for a backyard, say it's not 4th of July, it's just, hey, we're having a backyard party this summer, I think a lot of the food would still be pretty similar to what you would eat at 4th of July, just because this food just lends itself well if you have a bunch of people over for, and it's not like family. Usually 4th of July is like, hey, we get a bunch of people together. So it's not like we have to do a ton of work at it. Like, you're not putting in as much effort for 4th of July as you do for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is like, prove you love your family. Prove it. 4th of July, it's like, what can we get at Costco in bulk to feed a bunch of people? So I would say the food is very similar to summer fare in general, though with a few twists here and there. All right, let's rank the entrees. There's basically four that come up a lot when it comes to doing 4th of July parties. There's a few outliers here. I know there's some people who do fried chicken, and I'm like, that's wrong. That's not okay. I don't think you should be doing fried chicken at 4th of July. If that's your family's custom, if that's what you like, that's fine. But that seems odd to me right there. I also don't think it really keeps that well. I mean, unless you have your actual fryer out with you. So I've heard of that. Some people grill steaks. If you know how to grill this, that's going to go number one on my list. Number one on my list is a well done steak. That would be amazing. Like, if you're good at grilling a steak, molto bene, awesome. But I don't think I've ever been to a 4th of July party where steaks were grilled. That's a pretty fancy pants 4th of July party right there. So I'm just going to stick with the standard fare. Number one is the cheeseburger. Can't go wrong with the cheeseburger, especially if you melt the cheese on the patty while you're grilling it. I recently was going to Portillo's a lot. It's a Chicago-based restaurant that's opened up here in Dallas. I love the burgers they have. I don't know if they cook them this way. It looks like it to me. It tastes like it. But I can tell the difference between a burger that was cooked on a griddle, like In-N-Out will cook them on a griddle, and they're very good. In-N-Out is still my favorite burger. Portillo's is a close second, sometimes overtakes it. Most burgers are cooked on a griddle in a restaurant. So it helps to keep a lot of the juices in there. But when you cook a burger on a grill, you get the charred burn marks in there. And so I love that. And I think burgers taste better on a grill than on a griddle. That's my personal opinion there. So a backyard grilled cheeseburger with the cheese melted onto it, you get it fresh on the bun, toast the bun a little bit on the grill. Oh, that's good stuff. That is good stuff.
Number two, I'm going to go with the bratwurst. Not the hot dog. It's not coming up for a bit here. Well, soon enough. But bratwurst. Like it's just the nice, thick and juicy hot dog. And maybe I'll be wrong about why it gets ranked higher than the hot dog. But those just, they taste good. So the nice biting into them is weird. It feels like they're kind of wrapped in like a plastic film. But I think that's just the casing of it. But normally, and you get the right bun for it and put like sauerkraut or grilled onions on it. Bratwurst, if you grill those up nice on there, they taste so good. Number three, it's not really a tie actually. Like I think I should still put grilled barbecue chicken. Like if you have the nice barbecue sauce on it and you grill it, the only thing I don't like about that is I think it's really good when you have something like at a backyard barbecue, the food should be something you eat with your hands. Another reason you probably don't do steak at a 4th of July cookout, you don't want to be stuck at your table, knife and fork, trying to eat your steak. Like the food, you walk around, you hold it. That's part of the charm of a 4th of July backyard barbecue, right? So burgers, brats, and then I guess as item number four on this list, hot dogs. You know, like why don't I put hot dogs up higher? Because they're hot dogs. Will I eat a hot dog if I'm hungry? Absolutely. I'll eat McDonald's if I'm hungry. I just don't ask questions, okay? I don't ask questions about what's going on, you know, don't ask what goes on in the sausage factory, right? How it's being made. Hot dogs, objectively, are not, they're kid food because kids don't know any better. Will I eat one if the circumstance arises? Yes, I will. But deep down, I know this is not as good quality as other food I could be having, especially if it's a well-done meat patty. Hot dogs, a bit of mystery food fare, but they're still satisfying. They're still satisfying. And I'll give you that. There's a number five on my list that I will eat a hot dog over any of these. And that would be Impossible Stuff. Anything that's like actually a plant, like a plant patty, like Impossible Burgers. No, no. Now, here's the thing. I have had Impossible Burgers and they taste like an okay Whopper from Burger King. If you smother them with cheese and ketchup, you don't really notice, but it's like, you know what? I know what you are. You're a fake. You're a phony. Get rid of all the phonies, Holden Caulfield, catcher in the rye. Get rid of all of those vegetable patties. So that's my vegetables are going to be low on the list here. It's one day a year. I just want to blow stuff up. I want to do things that are bad for me, like blow things up and eat red meat. Okay. So that's how I'd rank the entrees. What about the sides? The sides, if I had to put the sides for, I got nine of them here. Let's go through the list. Number one side, watermelon. Well, I mean, it's a little sticky. That's a little annoying, but it's just like, it quenches your thirst and is like candy for grownups. That's just fun. When it's cut right, it's just so sweet and satisfying on a hot summer day. Number one, watermelon. Number two, deviled eggs. I could eat like a million deviled eggs. And normally, I'm not a big egg person, but for some reason, the way they make the deviled egg, it's just fun going down. It's no wonder called deviled egg. It's a temptation you shouldn't have. I love those things. Number three is coleslaw. I think coleslaw, if it's zesty enough, if it's too acidic or vinegar in there, I don't like it. But it can be a nice little side to balance off everything when you got your burger there. You can even, sometimes if you want to be real fancy, take the coleslaw, put it in the burger. You got yourself a gourmet treat right there. Number four is corn on the cob. I think I said for Thanksgiving, corn on the cob is overrated. Come on, it is. We do it to get butter. We do it to eat the butter. But there's something satisfying about gnawing your way through it like you're a little beaver gnawing through a tree to build a dam. So there's something fun about that. What's not fun, though, is bring dental floss. I hate corn on the cob. It gets stuck in your teeth. Super annoying. But I'll put it mid-tier here because I know a lot of people like it. Number five, potato salad. It's a decent side. If it doesn't have a lot of taste to it, it's just okay. At least it's filling. It's carbs. Gotta love carbs. Love potatoes. Potato will always be like a surrogate parent for me growing up. The potato, the nugget, and Saturday morning cartoons or SNICK or, well, really any cartoon television, honestly. So I put potato salad as lower mid-tier there. That'd be number five. If it's a gourmet potato salad, it can be real. If it's homemade, whew. I could rank it up there to number two or three if it's done really well. Number six is beans. Beans are actually, I mean, it's hard. You got to have the spoon in it. It'd be a little drippy. But if they're seasoned just right, they could be really good. But a lot of times I feel like I think they're going to be good. And it's like, you know, I'm not actually going to finish this. They're just beans. At the end of the day, they're just beans. They're what you keep in your apocalypse shelter. It's why you don't have them for holidays. Number seven, I might change. I had a different here on the list. I think number seven, I'm going to do fruit. Number seven is fruit. Fruit's okay. but you know, it's sweet, it's sugary, so to speak. So like strawberries, blueberries, got the red, white, and blue, right? But I think as a side, I put it lower. I might make it a bit higher as a dessert. So we'll get back to that shortly. Number 8, macaroni salad. It's just not potato salad. It's just, I don't know. It's like, I just want, when I see macaroni, it's like, I want mac and cheese. And I eat macaroni salad. It's like a poor imitation of that. And my favorite is someone will bring macaroni salad to the 4th of July barbecue, set it out at like 11 a.m. And by the time we're all ready to eat, when the burgers are done, it's been out in that sun for like 2 hours. Probably not food regulated. Probably not great food handling tips right there. And number 9, the vegetable dish. You know that one. You got it from Costco. It's got the ranch in the center, the celery sticks, the carrot, the broccoli. Ranch is really carrying that team, man. It is really carrying the rest. Without ranch, that thing might as well go in the dumpster. I don't even think animals would eat the vegetable tray if it didn't have ranch. It's just there to make us feel guilty. Or for other people who are on a diet or something like that or hate themselves. And just kidding, kidding, kidding. The vegetable tray, it's guilt. Guilt requires us to have that thing there. But you don't really want it. You'd rather have another burger. Just saying. Then we got to go to desserts here. Desserts here, I think I got four. I got one that popped in my head I'm going to add. But I had 3, so let's make it 4. Number 10, that's going to be the July 4th shortcake. So if you get the nice spongy shortcake with real whipped cream on it, with strawberries and blueberries, so it's red, white, and blue, it's thematic, it's festive, and it tastes so good. Not Cool Whip. I mean real whipped cream. People are real, like, whipping cream. Let's get that stuff out there. So the good July 4th shortcake. Oh, that can tell you that party was made with love. Another number 2, I'm going to put brownies or homemade cookies. Homemade is the key here. And you could tell the difference. And you bite into it. It doesn't have all the preservatives. What more? What more can I say about brownies and cookies than you can't imagine for yourself eating them? Number 3, I'll add on here, ice cream, popsicles. Those are awesome for if it's really hot outside. Problem with popsicles, though, they're fun for kids because kids don't care about getting sticky and gross. But a grown adult trying to eat a popsicle, you're like, oh, wow, this is actually a really inconvenient treat for me to eat. So if it's more like a little ice cream thing, like a little ice cream cone, that could rocket it up back there to the brownie chocolate level, like one of those ice cream cone things you get at Trader Joe's. So I'll put the ice cream. Now, it's ice cream in a bowl, like vanilla ice cream. You get stuff on it. That's from, once again, and I like more of the grab and go. 4th of July is about grab and go. Get it on the plate. Get it in your hands with a folded napkin. Walk around. Socialize. Get ready for Roman candles and fireworks. So ice cream's a bit inconvenient in that regard. Even ice cream sandwiches, they melt all over you. So that's number 3 on my list. Number 4, though, are the sugar cookies. Remember I said homemade cookies. But there's always those sugar cookies. And you think they're going to be good. You think it's going to be okay this time. And you bite into them, and they just taste good enough for a sugar-addicted 7-year-old to love to eat and run off with. But you as an adult, you know better. You know better that there's better things out here for you on this spread. Save yourself for them. Save yourself. You don't need sugar. Get another cheeseburger or bratwurst. Don't fill up on these empty sugary carbs that are full of preservatives and bad for you. So I'm going to say that those particular sugar cookies. Now, will I eat them if it's the only dessert on the table? Of course I will, because I'm an American. I'll eat them. But I'm ranking them down on here. So that's my ranking list. You might be like, that would have been useful to me last Friday, Trent, when I went shopping. Hey, sorry. If you're at 4th of July listening to this, and you are starting off on the vegetable tray after you're doing an impossible burger with a side of celery and ranch and some sugar cookies, hey, have fun. If that floats your boat, if that sends your firework into the sky, I am happy for you. But thank you guys so much. I hope you have a very blessed weekend and a very blessed 4th of July.